What would a $3,000 car repair bill do to your budget? A vehicle protection plan from 5-Star Auto Protection can save you thousands in repairs. Your auto insurance won't cover a $3,000 transmission repair, but we will. If your car has less than 130,000 miles, give us 10 minutes and learn how we can help eliminate costly car repair bills. Call us now. Call 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388. Plans not available in all states for all vehicles. See agreement for complete terms.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now at 800-221-9442 and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste a minute helping you with your tax problems. We'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. We've settled millions of dollars of tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking on your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-221-9442. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-221-9442. That's 800-221-9442. Again, 800-221-9442.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie. And my show, The Unsolicited Opinion, can be heard here on AM 1360 WNJC every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. You know, Barack Obama wants to redistribute the wealth. Well, I disagree. I think you need to earn what you get in life. So join me, because I'm going to be redistributing the truth one word at a time on The Unsolicited Opinion here on WNJC 1360. Tired
of people who say that if you debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic, and we should stand up and say we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie, and welcome to The Unsolicited Opinion. How you doing tonight? We had a little bit of a snafu in the beginning of the show. We have some technical difficulties here sometimes, but it always makes for an exciting, you never know what's going to happen next kind of a show. So it keeps you on your toes, and I don't know, what did you just... Oh, it's original. My helper here is telling me it makes the show original. So I guess never knowing what's going to happen next does have a little air of originality associated with it now, doesn't it? Listen, if you want to call into my show tonight, I'll give you a couple of numbers, 856-232-7078, or you can dial 856-227-1360, and my website, three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. You can also hear me on Sundays at noon at Micro 1650 AM, besides my Friday show here, same station, WNJC 1360, 5 o'clock Eastern Time. So, I have a great guest who will be on in a couple of minutes. His name is Tom DeWeese. He is the president of the American Policy Center, and he has been on the hunt, tracking and monitoring what's been going on with this assault against... Truly, it's against humanity all over the globe. My main concern, of course, I'm a United States citizen. My concern is what they're trying to do to us here. But he has been investigating, researching, writing about the United Nations Agenda 21, which is also known as Sustainable Development, for, I believe, at least a dozen years. And so he's going to be on the line in a minute or so. And when we get him on, that's what we are going to devote the next 50 or so minutes to, what I believe is the plan for global enslavement if we don't stop it. So I believe it's critical, and I know Tom does as well, it's critical that the American people understand what they're up against, because the dynamic that's playing out, the dialectic that we've been focused on, the arguments that have been out there, the distractions that have been created by the powers to be who are behind this agenda, this United Nations Agenda 21, they want to keep us all distracted. They want to keep us wrapped in the whole left-right dynamic. The white against black, the black against white, the citizen against illegal immigration, Wall Street against the people, big government against this. No matter what it is, one side against the other, they are playing off of that, because when we are distracted by all of those other issues, then it makes it easy for them. Gun control, global warming, cap and trade, natural health supplement control, food control, farming reform, control of private property, all of these different things, all of these things going on are all part and parcel, and what they're trying to ram through is all part and parcel of the United Nations Agenda 21, which I have to be honest with you, and I mentioned this a week ago when I had my other guest, Nikki Rapana, on. I had never heard of it until I was involved in a conversation with someone from the United Kingdom. Well, it's been about 3.5 weeks now, and this person I was talking to had said the word communitarian to me, and I said, well, I've never heard that word before. What does that word mean? And he said, well, we know all about it here in the European Union. He said, you need to look it up. You need to find out, he said, because I can guarantee you it's heading your way real soon as well. So I did some research, and what I found out was an absolute mind blower, and it was stunning to me. I was truly stunned by what I started to find out, and I call it the mother load because I think it trumps everything else. And I have spent several years involved in fighting illegal immigration, and now I realize, knowing what I know at this point, and I don't know a lot, I've just scratched the surface. That's why my goal is to have on guests who are actually experts in what sustainable development, aka United Nations Agenda 21, is all about. That's why it's important to me to see whether or not, is our guest on the line? Check to see if he's on the line. He's on the line? Okay, my guest is on the line. That's why it's important to me that we have that I bring experts on this show who can explain this much more succinctly than I can in my kindergarten level of comprehension and knowledge of what's happening with sustainable development. My guest right now is on the line, Tom DeWeese, who is the president of the American Policy Center. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Maggie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Hanging in there.
Good, good, good. Can we put him through the speakers so that I can hear him better? Little technical difficulty here. I'm sorry about that, Tom. One second while we figure out what's going on here technically so I can hear you better.
You sound like you're in a tunnel, too.
Yeah, yeah, it's not good. It needs to go up onto the speaker so that I can hear you. And we're having some technical difficulties here. And I don't know. Well, we're can you hear me?
I can hear you, but you're in the other room.
Yeah, you're going to have to fix it up a little. I apologize for that.
I can hear you.
Can you hear me? Okay. All right. Anyway, Tom, let's talk about what sustainable development is.
Well, this is a policy that came out of the Earth Summit in 1992 down in Rio de Janeiro. It's a soft law policy that is called Agenda 21. There were several different policies that came out of that summit. One of them was the Biodiversity Treaty, and the other one, the two main ones, Biodiversity Treaty and Agenda 21. And both of them together are a complete blueprint for what Al Gore called the wrenching transformation of our society away from the horrors of the 20th century's Industrial Revolution. That is what this is about. It is about transforming our society away from energy, away from manufacturing. Basically, if you look at their most egregious documents, the things that go deeply into this, basically they want to turn our communities into Chinese agrarian villages where we all kind of have our own little piece of land to scratch to grow some food, or we live in high-rise buildings where we never touch the ground. Population control, energy control, control of natural resources, That's what it all means, and that's where it's headed.
Well, how did you stumble upon it, Tom? Because I was telling, and I don't know whether you were still on hold or whether you were able to hear the audio of what I was saying, but I only heard about United Nations Agenda 21 3.5 weeks ago. Just by, it was a fluke that I was in a conversation with someone from the UK who had mentioned the word communitarian to me, which then brought me to this. But how did you stumble upon sustainable development?
Well, we've been working for a number of years to combat a lot of the radical environmental movement's policies, and we were aware. When they had the Earth Summit in 1992, we were watching, and I had some associates who were there. I had others who began to dig up what came out of that. And from about that time, we've been trying to issue the warnings about what Sustainable Development Agenda 21 are. And I will tell you, for over 15 years, we've been talking to people with deaf ears. And, people in the West, ranchers, farmers, people who were living off the land in the West, learned pretty quickly what this was about. As they began to have their land taken away from them, they had all kinds of policies that were taking their water rights away, their grazing rights away. And so we worked with them throughout all these years. They understood what this was about. But people in the cities, it wasn't affecting them at that point, and so they weren't hearing it, they weren't paying attention. Now, in the last year and a half, that has completely changed. And people are seeing what's happening, and instead of their eyes glazing over when we talk about it, they suddenly say, "Tell me more." And I really am excited because I see this exploding. People are getting the message.
Well, I'm so grateful for that, Tom, because to me it's something like out of a Twilight Zone episode, and this is happening right before your eyes, and we're not in a Twilight Zone episode. This is our life that this is happening to, and it just blows my mind. The more I learn about it, I'm absolutely awestruck. I am stunned by what these evil people, and they truly are evil. I think this is something out of the bowels of hell, to be honest with you. What these people are up to is just incredible.
Well, this is one way that we're trying to explain this, because they use the environment. That's the reason for all this, protecting the environment. And, to go into a little bit of history here, if you look at the just before the fall of the Soviet Union, we had, the East and we had the West. And we had, the Soviet Union trying to put a totalitarian government over the world. That's what they wanted. That was their goal. And we were opposing that. People in the United Nations, non-governmental organizations, a lot of socialist organizations were working really with the Soviet Union to try to bring that about. And lo and behold, the Soviet Union comes crashing down, and suddenly these guys are looking at the United States as the only superpower in the world. The problem with that was that the United States, its policies, its ideas, its founding were completely different from literally every other country in the world. We were based on the idea of private property rights, on the idea of individual liberty, on the idea of limited government. Everybody else was working on a different plane. And they looked at the United States and said, "We've got to find a way to change this, because this huge superpower is a threat to our plans for global government." I'm paraphrasing, and I'm giving you the Cliff Notes version of this, but essentially that's what was happening. They began to put a plan together and using the environment as an excuse, because how are we going to get the people of the United States to give up their liberties? How are we going to get them to change their ways? Well, the threat of global Armageddon, environmental Armageddon, is a scare tactic that would work.
Well, sure.
And that's what they did, and it worked beautifully. We started getting afraid of global warming, of ozone holes, on and on and on. We had to give up our lifestyle, our consumption, our energy use, cut back on our carbon footprint in order to save the planet, because this is our only planet, and this is the only place we have to go, and if you destroy this, we have no place else to go. And so that became the reason. If you look at the logo, the, the Sustainable Development logo that's used in all of their process. It has three connecting circles. We call it the three E's. One of those circles is ecological integrity. That's the environment. Another one is economic prosperity, and the other one is called social equity. These three circles encompass every aspect of our life, and the environment is the excuse to make it happen. The real circle to watch on here is the one marked social equity. Another term for that you're hearing everywhere is called social justice.
Sure.
And, you know, Karl Marx is a guy who coined the phrase social justice. Just to give you a quick rundown of what that means, it is, according to sustainable development literature, a social injustice to own private property because ownership of private property is a means to building wealth, and not everybody has it, therefore it's not fair, it's a social injustice. According to their literature, it is a social injustice for a country to have borders because that stops the natural migration of people. So you can see where this goes, with, you know, tying social equity and social justice to every aspect of our lives. It goes down to population control. It goes to what kind of jobs we can have, what kind of industry, how much energy we use, on and on and on. All of this is tied in to sustainable development. It's what it is.
Well, you know, I don't know if it was something that you had written, because I've been reading a lot about this since I stumbled onto it 3 weeks ago, and they were talking about the fall of the Berlin Wall wasn't so that we could bring freedom to those countries, it was so that they could spread their communism to the rest of the world, and in a sense, this is really what this is all about, isn't it?
Yeah, I wrote an article called Dawn of the Era of Commonism, not Communism, but Commonism, common borders, common currencies, common everything. And I made the contention in that the Soviet Union was an albatross around the communist neck because the West was geared to fight them, and we were never going to let up on them. And they weren't making any progress. They were falling apart. And I believe that Mikhail Gorbachev orchestrated the fall of the Soviet Union. And as soon as that happened, what happened to all the leaders of the Soviet Union? They all went into the environmental movement. Gorbachev did. He has a thing called the Green Cross, operates out of the Presidio in San Francisco. A whole bunch of these environmental organizations cropped up with former Soviet leaders and activists involved in them. Sustainable development is a weird mix of communism and fascism and corporatism. And it all kind of mixed together, which makes it very confusing to try to figure out, you know, where it's going, because, you know, communism was one thing. You could see that. You knew what it was. But then these other things start getting mixed into it, and they're just all over the grid. But what it all boils down to, first of all sustainable policies are based on one thing. That is redistribution of the wealth. There's no question about that. They say it over and over again that they, you know, we've got to even the playing field. We've got to, you know, take from these guys to give to these guys to make everything more equitable. Go back to that word again. And that's the whole root of everything. But mixed in that, then, you have these multinational corporations that are promoting and imposing sustainable development. Everything you hear in advertisements and so forth about going green, every time you hear that term, that means sustainable development. Well, the third E that I mentioned of these three E's was economic prosperity. This is how that operates. You've heard the term public-private partnerships. Public-private partnerships are the means of where global corporations tie in with government to impose these policies. And the fact, you know, that we have actually a lot of libertarian organizations that are selling public-private partnerships as a means to keep taxes down, keep the size of government down, and use private money to rebuild infrastructure. But the truth of the matter is, public-private partnerships are government sanction monopolies.
Well,
only certain companies are in these partnerships. They get the power of eminent domain. They get special tax breaks. They get special privileges that their competition doesn't have, and they use these partnerships to impose policies, lobby Congress, get special privileges that help them make money with government grants, government subsidies, banning of products, and so forth, that give them a leg up, and they're happy as punch with this. It's not free enterprise.
Well, you know, when I would see commercials for BP and they have that little green logo now, and they'd be talking about their green initiatives, and I think, oh, well, you know, that's kind of odd because oil, and then I think, well, maybe they're just such a massive corporation. Maybe there are sections of their corporation that are devoted to this, and I don't know anything about them, and, oh, isn't that wonderful? You don't really realize what the true ulterior motive to why they're pushing this is, because it really is the antithesis of oil and green really are kind of opposite, aren't they?
Yeah, well, no. First of all, British Petroleum is one of the biggest sustainablest companies in the world. I have refused to buy their gasoline for decades because they are promoting these policies. What a lot of people don't understand is the where it looks like they're putting up billions and billions of dollars to correct the oil spill out of their pocket, and are going to just be there to help everybody. Fact of the matter is, they have actually made money off of that oil spill. They, Obama, told them that they had to put all this money into these billions of dollars into a special fund.
Right.
But they had to put it all in there at one time. That meant they got a full write-off for this year on their taxes of the amount of money they put in that fund. But they haven't used near any of that money. There are several other backroom deals that they've got out of this, special things that have happened, that in the end, when you look at the bottom line, British Petroleum made money off of this. This is how these public-private partnerships work. They win, we lose. That is the way it operates.
Well, let me ask you a question. With who really came up with this whole concept? Is there one individual that can be pointed to for this? Is it that Amitai Etzioni, or is it just a group of wealthy, these billionaires who just are power-hungry megalomaniacs who want to control the world? Or is there some place that you could point the finger at specifically?
This started back in 1987. The United Nations World Commission on the Environment and Development came out with an official report called Our Common Future. The person who authored that and was the chairman of that committee was Gro Harlem Brundtland, who was the vice president of the World Socialist Party. They came up with the whole concept of sustainable development. They said this in the report. They said, poverty is a major cause and effect of global environmental problems. It is therefore futile to attempt to deal with environmental problems without a broader perspective that encompasses the factors underlying world poverty and international inequality. And so they came up with this concept of sustainable development, redistribution of the wealth worldwide, with top-down control from government. That report, Our Common Future, eventually was developed into Agenda 21 and this entire blueprint on how this was to be done. And as I said, Agenda 21 and the other treaty that was passed then were all came out of that Earth Summit in 1992. It was a process, step by step by step, leading up to that. And then since that time, there have been many more meetings to bring more people into the fold, put more regulations together, more parts of the plan. And it's growing to the point to the day that literally every single community in the United States is now implementing some form of sustainable development. Every single state has it part of their laws, and it is the policy of every single agency of the federal government.
Tom, we're going to go to break for a minute, and then we'll be right back. So just hang on. Listen, everybody, we'll be back in a minute. We are going to go to break. The call and numbers for when we get back, 856-232-7078, 856-227-1360. We are going to go to break. And we will be right back. Hang on, Tom. We'll be right
Listeners, here's a simple way to earn quit your job money from home. IncomeAtHome34.com has come to us for listeners who want to work from home.
I have to tell you, it's the best decision that I ever made because we replaced my income and my husband's income. This business has allowed us to quit our jobs, and we're both at home full-time and loving it. Best decision I ever made.
They're even giving away $1,000 to someone just for checking them out. Visit IncomeAtHome34.com. That's IncomeAtHome34.com.
What would a $3,000 car repair bill do to your budget? It's easy to have repair bills for thousands of dollars. If your car is less than 10 years old and has less than 130,000 miles, Five Star Auto Protection can pay for the repairs that your auto insurance won't cover. Did you know that the average mechanic charges $120 per hour? Towing in a rental car will add at least $200 more to that bill. For less than $100 a month, for less than 1 hour of labor, our vehicle protection plan can cover all your major components, including computers and electronics, and also pay for towing, rental, and even roadside assistance for flats, lockouts, or when you run out of gas. If your manufacturer warranty is about to expire, or if you have no warranty coverage at all, give us 10 minutes and learn how we can help eliminate costly repair bills. Call us now. Call 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388. Plans unavailable in all states for all vehicles. See agreement for complete terms.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie. We're back. You're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. My guest tonight is Tom DeWeese. He is the president of the American Policy Center. Here are some numbers you can call if you're interested in asking some questions. 856-232-7078, 856-227-1360. Tom, where'd we leave off?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. What?
Oh, okay. I said, where did we leave off?
Well, Let me go over. People ask, how do policies that how are they identical? And when you go from community to community, you start having these development programs and so forth in every community, and they are identical in language. And how does that happen? Let me go through the four-part process of how sustainable development is put in place. First of all, the United Nations is the driving force behind this. There's no question about that. That's who sponsored the Earth Summit, and that's who helped create this whole thing. They actually hold meetings of mayors from around the world, bringing them in, have a lot of stars there, a lot of wining and dining to bring them on board, and mayors will sign documents pledging to impose these policies. And they come home to do it. One of the policies that one of the main parts of sustainable development is control of water. And at a 2005 summit they had in San Francisco, United Nations sponsored, mayors signed a document to reduce water consumption by 10%. And you think, oh, well, that's 10%. But the way they used the wording was incredible. According to the federal government, the U.S. Geological Survey, Americans need, individual Americans need about 100 gallons of water a day to do everything they need to do, from taking baths to washing dishes to taking care of their pets to watering the lawn to washing the car, whatever. Well, this document started with 100 liters, not 100 gallons. That's one-fourth of what the Geological Survey says we need. And then they wanted to cut that back by 10%. So in a sense, what they were doing was using this language in a very cryptic way to cut water consumption not by 10%, but by 75%.
Right, yeah.
This is the way they operate. Of course, global warming is the cornerstone to the whole thing. As I said in the beginning, in order to get us to buy into all this stuff, we've got to be scared to death. And global warming has been the issue to scare us to death. At this moment, if you've been keeping up since January, the global warming crowd are in total disarray, in total retreat. They have been completely discredited. by their own words, by their own actions. The climate gate event that took place in November and December, right leading up to the Copenhagen Global Warming Climate Treaty Conference, they found that these guys were lying. They were hiding the fact that there wasn't any warming. They couldn't find warming. They were intimidating and bullying science journals so that they didn't carry the skeptics' reports. All these kind of things were coming out, showing they're lying about this.
Right.
And it's all come crashing down, but yet they are still moving to impose sustainable development. Why? To cut our carbon footprint, and communities around the country are doing this. And what that means is that your energy use is going to be curtailed. Your energy cost is going to skyrocket. The cap and trade bill contained language in it that literally would demand that every single homeowner have an energy audit, and that audit would then dictate to you whether you had to put a new roof on your home, new windows, maybe new appliances, anything that would cut energy use. And they implemented this in Oakland, California, and the average cost estimate for each homeowner in Oakland, California to comply with these kinds of regulations was $35,000 apiece. And if you didn't do that, then you wouldn't be able to sell your home. You'd probably be fined until you brought it into compliance with this. And so, you know, if you think health care was a horrible, terrible thing, that telling Americans what they had to do, buying products and so forth, sustainable development is at the root of all of it. And this is what it means to every single homeowner.
Well, you know, I can tell you, Tom, a friend of mine and I went to our county commissioner's meeting last week, and there are three members on the commissioner's board. And my friend had brought this up, and she had asked them, did you know that you signed an agreement to go, a United Nations agenda agreement? Oh, well, we would never do anything like that. We didn't do anything like that. We wouldn't do anything like that. And there was a man in the room, and I don't know what department he was in. I don't remember. Anyway, they looked to him, and they asked him, well, what is she talking about? Is this true? And he said, well, yeah, we bought this software from ICLEI, the nonprofit International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives. They bought the software, and when they purchased that software, they had to sign the agreement stating they would go along with implementing these initiatives to get the software that would tell them what their carbon footprint was in the county that we live in. And they didn't even know. The commissioners, one of them did, because his face is plastered all over this one department, and I can't think of the name of it. But I don't believe the other two did, or even if the one whose face is plastered all over it, who knows how much he even realizes of what the game plan really entails. Who knows how much these people know? We know they don't read these bills.
This is what we run into everywhere. Wherever I talk about this, somebody hears me talk about it, they read our stuff, whatever, and they run into city council and they say, you're implementing UN environmental programs here. And of course, every city council, every county commissioner group says, no, we're not doing that, of course not. Well, yeah, they are. And this stuff is being, sometimes they're being honest that they don't know it, sometimes they're lying to you. It just depends. They do not want you to know that, and they want to pretend like these local development policies that they come together with, these plans, are all done by the local community. And right here in town, we're just looking at what's going on here. But that's what I was saying in the beginning. These documents read identical from Singapore, you know, to Spokane, Washington. They are the same, give or take this or that, but they're the same policy. ICLEI, the organization you mentioned, helped write Agenda 21 back in 1992. Now their mission since that time has been to go to community after community to help them put these policies in place. They are in over 600 American communities. Those communities pay them dues or pay them for software or whatever. They come in with an army of people to then train the city government employees to set goals, to help write the policies, and move it. They are identical, as I said, for all around the world. And ICLEI is the reason. ICLEI is not the only organization. There are lots and lots of these. And what they've done, these non-governmental organizations, these public-private partnerships, they come together, and a lot of them have different agendas. And, you know, you and I are people who love the history of this country. History is very important to us. What our founding fathers had to say, where they walked, what they did, Civil War, on and on and on, is important to us. We may be people to say, well, no, this is socialist stuff. I'm not going to be involved in that. Well, here's how they'll sucker you into that. Historic preservation. It's everywhere. Historic preservation. We've got things being preserved that nothing historic ever happened on. There's all kinds of grant money from the federal government and from the states for historic preservation of downtowns, historic preservation of farmland, on and on and on and on, heritage areas, all this stuff. This is all part of this process. And let me make it very clear. It is not, you know, they want to make the argument that we're against either environmental protection or historic preservation. No, we're not. We're not opposed to that. We're talking about the process, because the process that they use here is to set up a series of non-elected boards, councils, regional governments that are answerable to no one. And when you begin to set those up, and then you go to your city council and you start to talk to them, and they'll say, well, we don't have anything to do with that. You've got to go over to the Historic Preservation Board. Have to talk to them. Meaning you get nothing done. Now what you've done is you've created the perfect definition of a Soviet, where all these non-elected boards are running the government. One board answers to the next one, to an apex, and nobody is responsible anymore, and nobody answers to their elected, they have no elected representation. This is why I said about a year ago, I wrote an article and I said the Tea Party movement cannot restore the republic if you're out there protesting the Fed and health care and gun control and what have you, all these federal programs. But meanwhile, over in your city hall, down in the basement, you've got ICLEI operating there, and they are turning your local community into a little Soviet behind your back. You cannot restore the republic if your community is a little Soviet. That's why the Tea Party movement, people involved in that, people who are concerned about what's going on around this country, that we have elected representatives that are not answering to our what we're saying, they're not paying attention, they're throwing us out of rooms and so forth. Sustainable development is the root of all of that. It is the root of all the efforts that we fight, and if we don't learn that, we cannot win.
Well, you know, I belong to Tea Party groups, and after I found out about this, I was, you know, so excited, and I tried to explain it to some of the people that I knew, and I said, well, you know, this is the United Nations. Oh, well, the United Nations has no control over anything we do here. And then, well, how much is it going to cost me? And, of course, I didn't have all the answers. I certainly don't have all the answers, and I had a rudimentary understanding of this. You know, so I was trying to figure out what was the right thing to say, and I, you know, and, of course, they said, well, you know, they can't do anything here kind of thing. And it's so easy for people, just when you mention it's United Nations, to dismiss it because they're first response is, well, they have no say in what goes on here in our sovereign nation.
And what they're thinking, the process that's going through their mind when they're saying that is, well, the United Nations hasn't sent any troops in here to occupy us, therefore they have nothing to do with us here. They don't have to send troops. They sent ICLEI. They sent these organizations in there to put the policies together that your own city councils are putting in place. But in the end, the result is still the same. We don't have an occupying army telling us what to do here. We've got our own stinking bureaucrats telling us what to do, and we put them there. But it's the policies, it's the process, and that is what, you know, the bottom line to it is.
Well, one of the things that is pretty fascinating about this, and I don't mean fascinating just in how complex and how devious these people are, but the techniques that they use to gain consensus, that Delphi technique, how they try to manipulate people into going along, even though what you think is 180 degrees opposite of what it is they're doing, they manipulate people through these different techniques that they use. And it's just incredible how much planning has gone into this and how they are hammering the people in one way or another into going along or acquiescing to their demands or succumbing to what it is they're overpowering them. It's amazing to me how devious people are. But then I guess the devious nature of some human beings should never surprise anybody, I suppose.
It is amazing that all of these guys are trained in this. You're absolutely correct. This is how it's being put in place. No longer do we have Robert's Rules of Order. No longer do we have any kind of debate on anything. You can go to city council and they'll give you 2 minutes. Not a single member of council is listening to a word you say. They're watching the clock. Okay, your time's up. Next one. And they answered nothing. They respond to nothing. And, that's it. And they say, well, we had an open meeting. And then if you really complain about it, they say, well, we'll have an election. Do something about it then. And that's their attitude. They're not representing you. They are putting these policies in place regardless of what you think. Consensus meetings, these professional facilitators are trained. They walk in the room. Their job is to get you to not only accept everything they're going to put in front of you, but when it's all done, you're going to think it was your idea. And they're going to drive you into that. And if you come in and start complaining about it, they're going to do one of two things. They're either going to focus on you and try to bring you on board. And they'll start asking you a series of questions. Would you agree? Well, you would agree with this, wouldn't you, Maggie? You would say, yeah, you would agree. And the minute you shake your head up and down and say, well, yeah, they've got you. You're now in the process. Or they will just completely dismiss you, and they'll keep saying, even a child could understand this. But, of course, Maggie here doesn't get it. You know, and they'll deride you to the point that you're totally discredited. That is what happens in every single meeting now of any kind of public policy anywhere. And that's exactly how they're putting it in place.
Well, what happened about a year and a half ago, Tom, that woke people up? Was it the health care bill that made people step back and say, hey, this isn't right? Or was there some significant thing that you became aware of that made people start to realize what sustainable development was?
Well, first of all, the policies are now beginning to move into the communities in a very obvious way, and people are seeing it everywhere, and all you have to do now is just kind of describe some of this, and they'll say, yeah, I've seen that. Before, they weren't seeing it, really, too obviously. But, you know, it's been a process that's built the Tea Party movement and what's taking place. I take it kind of back to the 2005 Kelo decision in the Supreme Court, where they literally said that there are no property rights in this country, that if a community decides that to tear down a Motel 6 and build a Ritz-Carlton will bring in more money to the community, that's for the community good, then they have the right to do that. The heck with the owners of the Motel 6, or even more so in a local development neighborhood, they decide they can bulldoze all those houses down and build an expensive high-rise and get more tax revenue out of it. Well, they can do that because that's for the good of the community. That's what the Kelo decision said. And when it was done, Americans finally realized they don't have any property rights here. And people were saying, how in the world can the Supreme Court make a decision like that? There's not a single precedent anywhere, not anything in the Federalist Papers, not anything in the Constitution, not any single word that a founding father ever uttered that said that was a concept of this government on private property. The reason that the Supreme Court made that decision is because the United States signed on to Agenda 21, and Agenda 21 cannot be implemented without the power of eminent domain. And that's the reason. You won't read that anywhere. Nobody's saying that, but that is the truth. That's where it came from, and that's why they did it. Well, that was the start. And then came the battle over illegal immigration. And the process has always been that we would go out and protest, we wave our signs, make our phone calls, and then we go home. And then they'd just wait for us to go home, and then they would, you know, bring it back up and then pass it anyway. Well, you know, lo and behold, on the immigration battle, we didn't go home. They tried three times to pass it, and we kept coming at them, and they wouldn't go home. But people were getting mad because they kept bringing it up. We told you we don't want this.
Exactly.
Kept doing it. Then came the bailouts, and we said we don't want this, and they did it anyway. And then came the health care program, and we said we didn't want this, and they did it anyway. That was the beginning of people organizing and saying, this government's not listening to me. And then as we were able to put out what Agenda 21 is and how it has the roots to all this, people began to recognize it. And really it was about a year and a half ago that I put out an article that the headline was, the Tea Party's cannot win back the Republic without this information. And it resonated. I started getting phone calls from people and saying, I talked about it at my Tea Party rally. I started getting invitations to go and speak. And so, you know, it's just really just exploding at the moment everywhere I turn.
Well, Tom, I've got a caller, so we're going to take that call in a second. But I have a question for you. For fighting this off, because our elected officials just, they don't bother to listen to us. In fact, that meeting my friend and I were at last week, the one commissioner said to me, are you an expert? And I said, no, I'm not an expert. I'm just part of the taxpaying public who is now speaking because this is public comment time. But, you know, they do try to intimidate you. But where will the 10th Amendment come into play with this in terms of states' rights and state sovereignty?
I think the 10th Amendment is one of the most exciting movements we've had. And we are starting to work with state legislators from around the country, teaching them what this is. And I'm hoping to get some real action with them starting to fight back. Another development that's just taking place, I can't talk about it too much because after the election we're going to have a meeting, but a major elected official in Virginia gets it, and he's going to meet with us and after the election, and if he takes on this effort, if he begins to, in Virginia, to begin to move this, this will very quickly move across the country, very much like the Attorney General's fighting the
health care bill. Right.
It may take on the same kind of an effort, and if that happens, and we can combine that with some of these state legislators we're working with around the country, we could see a real revolution take place pretty quickly.
Well, I hope so, because I'll tell you, my focus of my radio show now is strictly to cover this and to have experts on who can talk about this to my audience, because it's critical. To me, this trumps everything. This trumps absolutely everything.
You have no idea how excited that makes me, because after 15 years of trying to get people to even listen, let alone understand it, you are actually the second radio show that's told me that's what they're doing. So, terrific. Hallelujah.
I'm just so grateful that you people, you and the others who have been out there following this, I'm glad you figured it out.
It took a long time.
Yeah, I see that. Let's take this call, Tom. Hang on. We'll put our caller on the line here, hopefully. Hi, caller.
Hi, Maggie.
Oh, hey, hi. How are you? What's your question?
Tom, first of all, I want to say thank God you had the perseverance to stay with this for 15 years. I don't know if I could have gone and talked about this for 15 years with nobody listening. I am so thankful that you stuck with it, because Maggie and I both, when we realized this was the whole pile of crap, we were as excited as you probably are.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
My big question, and I don't want to talk too much, my big question is, what can we do as citizens, besides telling everybody and trying to, you know, get people to understand, what can we do, like, in our local governments to perhaps get ICLEI out of our government and stop our government from being a member?
Let me tell you two things, just kind of an example. First of all, about a year ago, this past March, almost a year and a half now, I spoke in Spokane, Washington, to a Republican group there, about this, and knowing full well that Spokane was a major ICLEI city. And when I was done, the following Monday, a bunch of people from that meeting went to city council and started asking questions. do we pay dues to ICLEI? Is ICLEI involved? And so forth. And they started finding out what I told them was true. Better yet, ICLEI had been working for a year in Spokane to build to put together their development plan. They were introducing it to City Council that night. It couldn't have worked better. A firestorm broke out in Spokane, and people there started getting involved and making noise about it. About a few months after I was there, an associate of mine who's also been working on this all these years, Michael Shaw from Freedom Advocates in Santa Cruz, California, followed me into Spokane, and 1,000 people showed up to hear what he had to say, and more gasoline poured on it. Two things I said that night were, if ICLEI is in your community, get some high-grade tar and feather and run them out of town on a rail and repeal everything they've done. There are two initiatives on the ballot in Spokane for this coming election in November that say, get ICLEI out of town and repeal everything they've done. So those are initiatives they've got on the ballot. The other thing that we're doing, I just started my community here, Warrenton, Virginia, where I live, is an ICLEI city, and the whole county is inundated with all this stuff. It's one of the greenest counties in Virginia. I put together from our Tea Party movement about 10 people who are really good at researching and know their way around city government and so forth, and I've been teaching them for the last month about sustainable development, all the terms, all the what to look for, and they are now going in. We're starting very slowly. We're investigating who is involved, what kind of groups are involved here, and we have at least 17 of these organizations, these non-government organizations involved here. I want to get a copy of the development plan that they are working from, and you know, various things like just get the basic information, and from there begin to build from it, and then eventually you will know what your game plan is. There will be a moment where you understand what you're dealing with, that you will do a frontal attack. If you do it now, if you just go in there and say, hey, you got this UN stuff, they'll do exactly what they did to you. They will say, bah, no, that's not true. But if you got the detail and you can go in and talk to it on that level, you open a frontal attack there. The second part of a pincer move that we intend to do is that information that you're gathering, use it for candidates to run against these guys and get them out of office. So it's a long process. It doesn't happen overnight. It didn't get there overnight, but you got to get your information, know what you're talking about, and then use it both in a frontal attack on the community, and then begin to run candidates to get them out of office.
Well, I'm partially there because I found a document, a planning document by an organization called the Delaware Valley Regional Planning Commission, and one of the commissioners at that meeting just happens to be chairman of that commission. And I brought up, when I asked the question about ICLEI, I mentioned the term for the name of that plan, which was Connections 2035. And I think I saw the color go out of his face. And he said, well, it's just a plan. That was his defense. So I think that's one of the Achilles' heels in our area. I found all kinds of ICLEI terminology in that document.
You're on the right track. There's no question
about it. I'm sending it to reporters. I'm sending it to people in government, local government.
What you want to do is begin to break it down. Okay, here's the policy. Who's affected by that? Who are the victims of it? How will they be affected by it? Well, does it mean that energy costs are going to go up? Does it mean that there's restrictions on private property? Does it mean that some kind of business can't operate here and it's going to cost jobs? Or you can't, you know, it's going to affect your home? Find out. Bring it to that level. So you don't try to argue it on with their terms and their language. You want the people in the community to listen to you and understand how it affects them, and you're on their side, and make these guys offended, and I think you'll expose them.
Well, one of the things I found in there was, and I brought it up at the meeting also, I said in that plan they actually envision preserving 50% of the county for open space.
Right out of the wild.
So when I brought that up to one of the, you know, the commissioner's meeting, I said, you know, we want to comment, like, how much open space are you guys going to preserve? I found a document that says you're going to preserve 50%, and one other guy who's not involved said, oh, I'm sure it's nothing as egregious as that. Well, guess what? I have it in print.
Yeah.
It is in print, and it's a plan.
And you know where that comes from, don't you?
I can point to it.
The Biodiversity Treaty, first of all, and
Wildlands.
The thing called the Wildlands Project, Let me,
Tom, hang on one second. Ruth, we've only got a couple more minutes, so is there a final comment you want? Otherwise, we're going to have you.
No, I'll let you guys finish. Thanks
okay.
a lot.
Okay, thanks, Ruth.
Let me just say this, Maggie, on the Wildlands Project.
Okay.
Created by Dave Foreman of Earth First. And here's what he said. We must make this an insecure and inhospitable place for capitalists and their projects. We must reclaim the roads and plowed land, halt dam construction, tear down existing dams, free shackled rivers, and return to wilderness millions of tens of millions of acres of presently settled land. That's the Wildlands Project.
Yeah. People don't... I think an approach to this, Tom, needs to be from a, and I'm going to use a the word selfish, from a selfish perspective that you like to be able to have a steak, or you like to be able to have a hamburger, or you like to be able to walk out of your house, and if you want to go into a forest, you're allowed to go into a forest. So I think that we need to approach people when we try to tell them about this from that perspective that, hey, listen, these people intend to stop your right to do those things. Is that okay with you? Is this the future you want for your kids? That they're going to be stuck in a concrete jungle, they won't be able to go out into the forest because the humans won't be allowed in there anymore.
Yeah, that's what all the environmentalists don't get. The people who just love to go out in the wilderness and have a good time out there, they don't get it. They're not going to be allowed to do that anymore. It's all going to be locked away. And we have to, under Sustainable Development Agenda 21, there can be no individual liberty, there can be no free enterprise, and there can be no limited government. It is completely the opposite of the American way of life that got us to be not only the wealthiest nation on earth, the healthiest nation on earth, and the freest nation on earth. It is the exact opposite, and it's being done on purpose because of that.
Well, I don't know. I think I'm hoping that the Tea Parties, because there are millions of people who are involved in the Tea Parties, Tom, I'm hoping that this will catch on with the Tea Parties because they need to step out. We all need to step out of the whole, all these different paradigms that have been created for us to be focused from left to the right and all these other, well, you're on this side, you're on that side, because those are all just distractions. While they're behind the scenes implementing all this stuff, we're focusing on trying to fight illegal immigration. Ruth, who was just on the line, and I, we've been following that for years. And in reality, United Nations Agenda 21, there are no borders, so they don't care if 40 million illegal aliens are here in this country. Add 40 million more is okay with them because there aren't any borders.
Now, that's the root of all of it, and what we've got to get people to understand is there'll be a lot of people who fight us because they say, well, we've got to protect the environment. I've had it said to me over and over and over again. This is not about that at all. That is an excuse. We're not about, they try to call us the AstroTurf crowd that we want to pave the earth and all this. It's not true, but we're talking about the process. Where is the debate? Where is the discussion? Where is the ability to go in and meet a compromise on something that used to be done in politics? Today, it's all their way or the highway, and that's not the way. And we've got to get those people who think this is all about the environment, we've got to show them we're talking about a process that is going to damage everyone's life if we don't turn this around.
Yeah. Tom, AmericanPolicyCenter.com, is that the best website for my listeners to go and find out more information?
AmericanPolicy.org.
AmericanPolicy.org, okay. I will have a link to your website on my website, TheUnsolicitedOpinion.com, for my listeners. Tom, I've only got another minute, so I've got to... any final words of wisdom to impart here on us? Because we're like sponges. We are anxious for any information we can get because this is, to me, this is the mother lode.
It really is. Go to our website, AmericanPolicy.org. We've got several things available there. We've got a special report on sustainable development. We've also got what I call talking points, all the details needed to sound the alarm against sustainable development. These two documents are the Cliff Notes version to get you, to understand it all. I've also written a book, it's more of a booklet, called Sustainable Development, The Wrenching Transformation of America and How We're Losing Our Liberty, that has all this information in it. So all those things are available from us. You can either get them on our website at AmericanPolicy.org, or you can give my office a call at 540-341-8910. 541-8911, 540-341-8911, and we'll send it out to you.
Okay. Tom, thanks so much for being on my show tonight. I'm going to have you on again because, as I said, my focus henceforth is just sustainable development and killing this beast that's been created to enslave all of us. Thanks so much, Tom DeWeese, president of American Policy Center, AmericanPolicy.org. This podcast will be up on my website, three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. You know I love to go to Oz. We are going to Oz, as we always do, because somewhere over the rainbow is a wonderful place to be. Friday at 5 o'clock, everybody. I'll be back. Listen in, go to my website, go to Tom's website. You need to know these things and you need to spread the word like wildfire because if we don't win, we are all doomed. Take care, everybody. Friday
really?
At 5.
You know what Miss Gus said she was going to do to Toto? She says she
was going to... Dorothy, dear, stop imagining things. You always get yourself into a fret over nothing. Uh-huh. Now you just help us out today and find yourself a place where you won't get into any trouble.
Some place where there isn't any trouble.
I suppose there is such a place, Toto.
There must be. It's not a place you can get to by a boat or a train. It's far, far away. Behind the moon, beyond the rain.
Chimney tops, that's where